Yes, thank you, Ty. Be bold, brother. That's right. Yes, it ought to be going on here. How many people believe it ought to be going on here? And you don't have to raise your hand just to make me happy. Just, you know, yeah. How many people would like to see that happening here? Yeah, man. How many people really don't care? Luke! Luke Slater from Dover, Delaware. Mark, that's your son, brother. Angie, I mean, what are you doing to this guy? Anybody that would not like to say, that would say, you know, frankly, I would be uncomfortable if that started happening here. Be honest. It's okay. I'm not going to throw stones. Okay.
You're right.
So you guys would like to see that happening here? Really? Really? How many people on a scale of 1 to 10? I mean, you know, where do you feel your hunger meter at? And then be honest, you know, remember Ananias and Sapphira, they lied in church and got and they died. You know, we don't want to carry your body out of here. So really, I mean, let's be honest now. On a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 1 being like, you know, I could care less. Is he preaching? Is it over yet? And when do we go home? That's 1. 10 being like, man, you know, I just can't live without this. I constantly think about it from night and day. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you for this to happen? What do you think? Anybody? 10. I got a couple of 10s. God bless you all. Man, that's awesome. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Stephanie. Wow. Now, you sure you want to stick with 10? You haven't seen the rest of my notes yet, right? You're going to go with 10. Is that your final answer? Say that again. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Keep going, Stephanie. Yes. Yes, the God stuff. As John Wimber used to say, man, when do we do the stuff? When do we do the stuff? Man, I'm hungry to do the stuff. When is the God stuff going to happen? But we're too what? We're too comfortable. How many people would say, I am challenged by the level of comfort in my life? Anybody? Yeah.
That's why I'm
late,
because I don't know how
to make it. Thank you. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lee and Mark. God bless you. Amen. You know, what's it going to cost me?
Everything.
Thank you. These are, you know, we say this stuff so easy, and Sunday can go by in such a blur. You know, I can remember at one time before I was a pastor, sometimes, you know, weeks would go by, and I would just, the motions would be so easy to go through, and we'd say all the same phrases and blah, 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 and it all sounded really nice. But you know where the rubber meets the road. How hungry am I? How much, what am I willing for it to cost me in order to see this happening? What number am I really at on the hunger meter when it comes to wanting to see the things of God in a powerful way, revival. This stuff happening in our church, so that when we answer the question, is this a description of what's happening in our church today, we could say without hesitation, oh, praise God, yes, thank God. How hungry are we? Any other numbers? I'm going to look at everybody in this room. I'm not just going to squirt, you know, go back and forth real quick. I'm going to look at each individual. And you don't have to answer if you don't feel comfortable. But I'm looking at everybody here because I want everyone to really consider this in our hearts. How hungry am I for this to happen in our midst, in our church, in my lifetime? Life goes by so fast. Let me tell you, man, I didn't think I'd be 50 this quick. And 50 rocks, don't get me wrong, man. I love 50, but you know what? I'm finding I'm looking at life differently. And when I say, what am I willing to pay? All of a sudden, I realize I have less time to make that investment. And so how hungry am I to really see this happen now, in this time, because we really don't know how much time we have. How hungry am I? Anybody other volunteers? We've got 2 tens, we've got an 8.
On Sunday, I'm 10, by Wednesday, I'm probably around 5.
Praise God. On Sunday, I'm a 10. By Wednesday, I'm probably about a 5. Can anybody get a witness to that? You know, several hands. Yeah. Yes, man. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Yes.
Because of frustration overnight.
Laura? Ouch. Ouch. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're not alone, hon. For real, you are not alone. You know, and it's true, and even the apostles acknowledged that we get weary in well-doing, because they said, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. That means at times we feel like fainting, times we feel like just saying, man, is this ever going to come? And that's true. And you know, revival, I don't know of any revival that happened because somebody said, I think I'm going to pray for revival today. And so they did, and tomorrow it came. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and pay the extra $12 to get it overnight. Maybe he can two-day express revival to Queenstown, you know. Maybe he can get it here before Christmas, you know, and that way I don't have to, you know, worry about fasting or anything. Wow. Amen. How hungry are we? And you know, when I see passages like this, and I can't just conveniently detour around them because, you know, I've got to prepare for this morning and I've got to study this and I've got to get real with God about it. You know, I don't want to get up here and just be a hypocrite and lie to you and say, well, do this and my life is somewhere askew and left field. When I see passages like this, it challenges me, frankly, and thank you, Laura, very much. It can be both exciting and discouraging at the same time. Amen? You know, it can be exciting when I see that and something inside of me hungers for that and says, man, oh, I want that so much. And I really genuinely do. But then, you know, I think, man, you know, God was moving like that. And yet at the same time, I can get discouraged because it seems like it's so far away from what was here last week and the week before that and the month before that and the year before that. And you're like, man, you know, I mean, am I just setting myself up for disappointment? Can I put my heart out there and dare to hope? And so I can get excited and discouraged all at the same time. Amen. This is reality. This is where we're living right now. And I believe, you know, I believe that that's part of the pathway to that. If I can, you know, use an analogy, when I have learned various instruments and stuff, I reach a point, there's a point in learning something that you get there. Because at first you're real excited about it and so you put in all this time. But after a while the novelty wears off and then you're not making progress as fast as you think. And sometimes, and then you hear somebody who's really good and you think, yeah, like I'll ever be that good. And now the novelty's gone, you know, the goal isn't there and you're stuck somewhere in the middle. You just think, you know, is this really worth it? Should I continue or should I give up now? And I'm grateful that I've continued. Now I'm still not, you know, fabulous or anything, but I've reached a point where I'm like, wow, this is really fun now. This is really, you know, exciting. And you know what? I think when you're in that middle point, even like Moses and the Israelites, as they were heading for the promised land, you know, they got all excited at first. You know, God put 12 plagues on Egypt, but somewhere in the middle, they were just like, you know, wow, back in Egypt, you know, I'm starting to remember, why am I putting myself through this? We can get discouraged. But I think a little understanding goes a long way. If we can shed some light on this process. And in order to do that, I want to say that there's two extremes that people often use when they interpret this passage. And I've heard both extremes from different camps in Christianity, and I hope we can avoid these two extremes. The first extreme, when people see this passage, some commentators and teachers say, well, you know, these signs and wonders that were being done by the hands of the apostles, that's the only people who were ever doing that kind of stuff. It's not being done anymore. So we should not expect anything like that to happen today at all. That was then, this is now, that was the apostles, this is us. And so we should just be happy that that happened then and just, you know, not even worry about it anymore. You guys ever heard of that position? I came from that position. I got saved in a wild Pentecostal crusade, but then I got discipled in like a very non, maybe in fact an anti-Pentecostal church. They used to have gospel tracts on the wall that said, you know, the Pentecostal and the Charismatics were of the Antichrist. I mean, this was, so you know, you didn't raise your hands in that church. And they were like, you know, that stuff is just, you know, that was the apostles, that was back then, and you know, you better not be, you know, laying hands on anybody now, that kind of thing. That's one extreme, and that can be discouraging because they're basically telling you, don't even get your hopes up, you know, it ain't happening. And if it does, it ain't happening in this church. Better not happen, or we'll get the deacons to haul you out of here. heal people in the service. Give me a break. I'm exaggerating. That's the one extreme. They weren't quite that bad. The other extreme is that you have people saying, well, because the apostles did all these signs and wonders, that everybody should be doing signs and wonders. Man, if you're not raising your neighbors from the dead the moment they kick the can, then something's wrong with your faith. You must be in sin or something. You know, you should. Something might be wrong with your face. It's hard to talk this fast, man. Give me a break. You try it sometime. You know, where everybody ought to be doing just profound, breathtaking, amazing miracles. That every Christian should walk out of here and raise the dead and, you know, do all kinds of amazing things. And you know what? And I appreciate the zeal. Don't get me wrong. God bless them. But you know what? Believe it or not, that can be discouraging too. Because when we're not doing it, we wonder, well, what's wrong with me? Wow. Maybe I am in sin. Maybe I don't have faith. I thought I did. You know, I've been making some deep sacrifices, and I've spent time on my face in tears before the Lord seeking His face. And is He displeased with me? What am I doing wrong? And so that can be just as concerning. In fact, I've seen people come up for prayer, and I don't want to quench the Spirit at all. Please don't get me wrong, man. I think we ought to be zealously pursuing the power of God. But I've seen people come up for prayer and not get healed and walk away feeling guilty because the impression was, well, there's something wrong with you if you didn't get healed, man. And so they're not only sick or disabled, now they're self-condemned. And that's sad. I don't believe that that's God's will. And so there's two kinds of extremes. I want to take these one step at a time because I believe the truth lies a little bit in the middle towards one end, and there are very exciting things, but we don't have to get discouraged. God's plan is definitely not that His church be discouraged. God's plan is that His church should be on fire. So let's take these one at a time. Was this ministry, first challenge or first objection or question, was this type of ministry limited to the apostles? And the answer, no. Heck no. Heck no. In fact, could I get one of the young ladies here to quote the bottom line there? Let me get you on tape.
Yeah, as if.
Thank you. That was perfect, man. Oh. Who's that girl that played in Clueless? Yeah, Lisa Silverstone would have been proud. As if. No, of course not. Don't be silly. No, this ministry was not simply limited to the apostles back then. That is so not biblical. You might find that in some seminaries, but you won't find that in the Bible. That is just not in there. It's nothing of the sort. In fact, in the very next chapter of the book of Acts, when we get to chapter 6, we're going to see a guy named Stephen who was not an apostle. He was only a deacon. I mean, if you're going to talk about levels or anything, not an apostle. And he did all kinds of amazing things. In fact, Acts chapter 6, verse 8 says that Stephen, full of faith and what?
Power.
What?
Power.
Did great wonders and signs among the people. He wasn't only doing signs and wonders, he was doing great signs and wonders. I mean, there's great, and then there's signs and wonders, and then there's like great signs and wonders. And this guy wasn't even an apostle. They just chose him out of the congregation to wait on tables among the widows. But he was a man, he may not have been an apostle, but he was a man full of faith and power, full of the Holy Spirit. He had a servant's heart, but he wasn't an apostle. Two chapters later, we see another guy, a guy named Philip. Now, this wasn't Philip the apostle from Bethsaida, one of the original 12. This was another Philip. This is a guy they call Philip the evangelist. He was a Hellenist person. The other Philip was a Hebrew. This guy was just another one of the deacons that was chosen alongside of Stephen. He was just a dude, just Philip. That's probably pretty much all we know about him prior to what we see in the book of Acts. And this dude, this guy named Philip, in Acts chapter 8, you look at verses 5 to 8, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord, there it is again, heeded. Thank you. I guess they drove down to Samaria by that time. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the what?
Miracles
that he did. And not just simply miracles. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city.